Welcome to the Health Fix Podcast, where health junkies get their weekly fix of tips, tools, and techniques to have limitless energy, sharp minds, and fit physiques for life. Hey, health junkies. On this episode of the Health Fix Podcast, I'm interviewing Dr. John Russin. He is a strength and conditioning coach, but he's also a physical therapist, a great combo when it comes to helping you stay out of trouble in the gym, but also with your fitness goals. Now, John and I have been working together for almost 3 years now, and he's helped keep me out of chronic pain in my back, which I started to find was becoming a huge issue and keeping me from really wanting to work out. And that's not like me. Now, you don't have to be a fitness enthusiast. In fact, I'm hoping by listening to this podcast that we can plant the seed that fitness is all about longevity. It can help you with your overall health, but it can also help you with keeping those joints healthy and your mobility. If I've found anything or learned anything in my 15 plus years of practice and in watching my father get older, he moves so much better than all of his friends. And I think that's why he's pushing 87 years old and still crushing it with his work. So I want you guys to think about, what would it be like if you didn't have to go into a gym? Because I think as you get older, that gets intimidating. And you could work from home, and you could do something that is working to strengthen your body every single day so that you could live a long, healthy, and mobile life. I don't know. That's what I'm going for. So let me introduce you to my coach, Dr. John Russin. Hey, health junkies, I've got John Russin on today. And oh my gosh, I've been waiting for this podcast for a very long time because he's been training me for what? It's like been almost 3 years now, right, John?
Like going on three.
Crazy amounts of time. And he's been keeping me out of some serious back pain. And we're definitely going to get to that here in the podcast and why I found him, because of the whole idea of pain-free performance. And so, folks, welcome John Russin to the Health Fix Podcast.
I feel like this is long overdue, but I'm so excited to be on. We finally made it happen, and it's going to be one hell of an episode.
Yeah, I have no doubt. I have no doubt for sure. So one of the big things that a lot of folks who listen to the podcast, you know, kind of ask me when I say, hey, I'm going to interview someone, they're like, I want to know, like, how did he get into fitness? Because I think for a lot of ladies, let's put it that way, we kind of go, okay, we see these guys and I'll give the basic, you know, scenario. You walk into something like a big box gym and you got the guys kind of standing there, you know, looking tough. And you're like, oh my God, I don't know if I could train with someone like that. And so then you kind of like go in there, you go hide in the corner, do your thing, probably stay in the machines, and then you're out because you're like, I don't know what to do. So, you know, I think for a lot of ladies, they want to hear the story of how did you get into fitness? How did it come to be your thing? So tell us the story of John way back in the day. What sports did you do? Those kind of things.
Well, I was born into it. So I am the son of a university professor, actually a dean of health and human services, which was Dr. Russin, my mom. Nice. And then my dad is also Dr. Russin. He was a university professor at University of Buffalo, but his main role was an athletic director for 27 schools in the Western New York district. And that's originally where I'm from and where I spent my first 24 years of my life. So I not only got started with fitness, I was almost born into it because the combination between being in the health and human services with my mom's influence, and then obviously the athletic background, being in the weight room, being at a basketball court before I could even walk. I think the synergy of those two things set me up for a future in what I currently do, but also what I've done previously in my career. But growing up, as you mentioned, I was an athlete. I played everything in high school, basketball, baseball, and football. And then I also played Division I baseball in college. So spent a lot of time training, spent a lot of time in sports-specific skill work and camps and all of that. But I realized that I really just loved training more than I actually loved competing. And I realized this about my sophomore year in college. Like, I was super into the strength and conditioning. I cared about like my PRs in the gym more than I cared about my batting average, was not necessarily a great thing for my team. But I knew that with my background of academics, plus my interests in sports performance and athletics, that this was most likely going to be the career choice for me. And yeah, it's as easy as that. But set up in the right spots at the right times, I think really opened up my opportunities to actually pursue something that was really just a pipe dream.
Yeah, no, I mean, gosh, you know, folks who likely have seen you before, I mean, it's huge. You go on your website, you've got tons of articles. I mean, men's health, all of the background, you know, of Stacked, all of it. And so for a lot of people, they might be looking going, oh my gosh, John Russell, I could never train with him. He's just like so amazing. So, I mean, this is why I wanted to bring you on, because I wanted to tell ladies, you know, that you get it. Like, you get us. And yes, you have an extensive background in fitness where, you know, some folks might be like, oh, he only really understands athletes. But what drew me to you was the whole pain-free performance. Yeah. And as we've talked over the years, my back has been an ongoing dilemma with chronic back pain, with deadlifts, things of that nature. So what brought you to going from athlete to being like super into the strength and conditioning and all that to how do I address pain? How do I help folks not get injured?
Yeah, it's a pretty crazy ride. So I started my career at University of Buffalo. I was an assistant strength and conditioning coach, and I worked with the Olympic sports, predominantly women's sports. Basketball, women's basketball was like my key focus. And really working in that sector taught me a lot very quickly, because you're dealing with a lot of cofactors in terms of pain, in terms of emotional, psychological, intellectual differences between people, and learning how to coach and manage those types of people. And at the time, like every other broke, like brand new person into a profession, I was living at home with my mom and my dad, and I was having a great time. I was coaching, training myself. It was awesome. I was making nothing. It didn't really matter at that point in time, but I got pushed into this thing, doctor of physical therapy school, upon my mom's recommendation. And I'd never been a client or a patient of physical therapy a day in my life, even being an athlete myself. I was always just kind of in the gym where I was pretty much healthy. And I got into this program specifically because the school that my mom was the professor at, there was this massive billboard on the main street of the campus, and it had this lady, Sue Falzoni, who was at the time the first female strength and conditioning / athletic trainer in Major League Baseball history. She was working for the Dodgers. So Her face was there, and she had the Dodgers cap on, and she was like, proud Damon College alumni. And I was like, holy shit, like, I like baseball. I like strength and conditioning. Maybe this physical therapy thing could work out. Like, being so naive, being like, oh yeah, like this is my track to Major League Baseball. Like, so dumb. So I ended up going in, continuing to coach while I did DPT school. And that was 3.5 years of like a battle test, because doing two full-time things at once is a recipe for disaster. Like, my first semester of PT school, I thought I could just like brainiac my way through it. Almost failed out, got it back on the tracks, and ended up, you know, gaining a lot of life experiences, experiences that I'll never forget. And I say academically was very important at that point in time, but I also think that just gaining a different perspective on the types of challenges that people are dealing with out there, real world shit. Yeah. And, you know, being an athlete and being, you know, I'm from suburban Western New York. I didn't have a whole lot of life experience at that point in time, but being able to work in acute care hospitals, being able to work with children with CP, being able to go in and see people that are battling for their lives with MS. Buffalo, New York is one of the most prevalent MS of all areas in the world cases. Yes. So I saw a lot of different things that really put things into perspective for me. It was like, whoa, okay. Like, there's real world out there, and there's people that need help above and beyond bench pressing and sprinting and dunking a basketball. And I think that experience always stayed in the back of my mind, even though I wasn't mature enough to say, hey, I want to work with this clientele right away. That took me to sports performance. I lived in sports performance. I was focused in sports performance. Every piece of studying, every course I did was focused on that. That led me out to Southern California and having a pretty eclectic client list of athletes, mostly overhand throwing sport athletes. And that was cool because that's what I was really into. But I learned very quickly that, you know, I wasn't making a Major League Baseball player throw 95 instead of 92. I was working on pain. I was working on injuries. We were doing soft tissue work. We were doing corrective exercise. We were doing stress management. We were doing nutrition. We were managing their home life and their lifestyle with their partners and their wives. And it wasn't necessarily exactly what I thought it would be, like this glorious thing where you're training somebody that makes $10 million a year and they're these physical freaks that you make better. Development was not the job description. It was more maintenance at that point. And it was maintenance of an entire lifestyle. And that was cool. You know, I was happy. I was, you know, brushing shoulders with some really interesting people. And that took me through the first couple of years of my career, even into having opportunities to go to China, coach for the Chinese Olympic teams, where I had multiple gold medalists and multiple silver and bronze medalists in that upcoming Olympics. And it was cool. Like, I was having a good time, but I ultimately realized that I didn't have the want nor the need nor the fire within myself to jeopardize somebody's long-term health for where they wanted to perform. And whether it was, you know, a fraction of a percentage point better in XYZ physical characteristic to, you know, bust their knees up or to push them through a training session, even though their back was totally out of control pain. Those were things I was unwilling to do. And at that point, I was one of the only coaches that were unwilling to do that. And that was a paradigm shift in my career where I went from high performance athletics to, hey, I remember all those experiences that I had. I remember people out there needing something. And I asked myself the question, and this was over a long period of time. This is a multiple year thing. Why are we treating athletes any better than the people that truly need the help, life-changing help? Why are we focusing so much on people that are already at the top of the pyramid? How do we make a larger scale impact on people that can literally turn their entire lives around? We can give them their lives back via what we do in the gym, the way that we mentor them, the way that we coach them. And this was a quick shift. There's an intermediate period between high performance athletics and where I now sit, 95% of my clientele, general fitness population with general fitness goals. I had a period of about 2 years where I worked predominantly with barbell sport athletes. So it was like between high performance athletes and general fitness population, I was working with a lot of bodybuilders, a lot of power lifters, strongman athletes, and then CrossFit competitors that competed in the CrossFit games. And at that point in time, I was like, all right, we need to work on health of humanity. And health of humanity was really the key focus 2017 on into today. And that was a really nice shift for me specifically, because I got the want back to help at a deeper level, as opposed to 6 or 8 weeks at a time for a performance athlete on their off season. And it was much more rewarding as a coach because of the successes that my clients were having. And that continues to be the focus today, simply put, because today we're in more need of health and proactive and preventative healthcare measures than ever before, arguably in our modern day times. So it was a pretty wild ride, but I think the culmination of all your life's experiences, your professional and career experiences, lead you ultimately on the path that you will continue on for a career. And definitely making that transition that led to having opportunities to work with amazing human beings out there like yourself that are able to not only feel good, but also push their positive energies and their expertise into others, no matter what their profession is.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I love that you kind of tied it in to overall health, because so many people look at fitness and they're like, oh, I'm going to do this because I need to lose weight, or I'm going to do this because I want to look good. And we leave it at that superficial, but we don't really realize how much is involved in the whole aspect of fitness. You know, it's something that's been lost a little bit, or maybe never was there. I'm not really sure at this point. If I look back, I'm like, I don't know. If I look back in the 80s and, you know, Richard Simmons days, we've got some aspect of things, but if we compare back to some of the big, big power lifters of those days, I don't think we always had the full total package going on.
Yeah, I think the holistic health model, it's something that is extremely underserved today, but it is our best opportunity to make market change, not only in health, but also in longevity. health and longevity, those are two buzzwords today, but that continues to be my focus with my coaching, but also with businesses like Pain-Free Performance Specialist Certification. I'm in the mindset of I'm not willing to place things into my clients' programs, whether it be training or whether it be nutritional protocols, that we can't create long-term health habits with and create sustainability for life. And the quick fix model, it's so hard to get behind because of the people just can't stay on it. So their ability to stay consistent on a quick fix model or the jumping from quick fix to quick fix, it's one of the biggest pigeonholes today in our industry. And it leaves people not only without the physical results, but also mentally and emotionally burned out with the entire process. We start hearing people say that, hey, fitness didn't work for me. Eating healthy didn't work for me. And maybe it didn't work that time, but maybe we didn't have the right and correct step-by-step approach plan in place. And these are the things that I think we're up against as holistic healthcare practitioners, is that there is this idea out there that we are one quick fix away from just making everything great. And there's going to be one advancement in pharmaceuticals, or there's going to be one advancement in training protocols that is going to make everything easy. Without having to change anything else in your life, your intakes, your outputs in the gym, or the way that you're sleeping, the way that you're managing stress, all these different cofactors in the biopsychosocial physical model. I truly believe that we need to be addressing all of these things, because without one, we're just simply not complete. And it's always going to be a model that needs to evolve and it needs to adapt to your current day situations. But these are things that just aren't addressed today. And we wonder why we're having such marked difficulties in staying healthy, maintaining a healthy body weight, being happy, just living life the way that we should be able to live. And usually the easiest solutions are also the hardest to gain and maintain when you actually implement them in, because it's a hard pill to swallow to say that, hey, it takes a little bit of work, it takes consistency, and it takes habit building, which doesn't happen overnight.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. And I think, you know, the society of magic pill, you know, I mean, we all kind of think in the back of our head, like, wow, if I could just one thing, could just get this to go away, like my, you know, my cellulite, if I could just take one pill and get rid of it, if I could just do this. And, you know, it, unfortunately, that's not the case. And I think for a lot of people, when they come to fitness, they're seeing, let's put it this way, there's a lot of social media out there. And I know you address it a lot on your Instagram channel in particular, but there's a lot of selfies out there of people wearing waist trainers and things and making it look like they can wear their big long nails and just lift some weights and, you know, weight drops off. It kills me, because now we have people thinking that it's that easy. Then they try it and they either get hurt or they're just disillusioned with the whole concept of fitness. So I'm gonna let you speak to that a little bit, because I know you're passionate about talking about the social media view on things.
Yeah. I mean, the idea of mainstream fitness today is like ass backwards, mm-hmm. because we end up polarizing ends of the spectrum that are dangerous on both accounts. One is like the quick fix. Hey, I'm going to take this pill and I'm going to lose 30 pounds and I'm going to be jacked. I'm going to see my abs by summer and I'm going to feel great about myself. And then I guess I just keep on taking this pill and it'll be good forever, says no one. And then on the opposite end of the spectrum, we have the Biggest Loser effect. All right, I'm ready for a change. I haven't exercised in the last 20 years. I'm 120 pounds overweight, but now I'm ready. I'm going to do 7 days a week, 3 hours a day, morning, noon, and night cardio. And I'm going to go on a diet that is so restrictive that I can no longer live my life the way that it needs to be lived. So I'm going to not be able to work. I'm not going to be able to be a mother or a father. And you're going to be extraordinarily limited up until the point where you burn out, break down, and end up right where you were before, just with a more dysfunctional relationship with the process itself. So in between these two things that gain a lot of attention, because, you know, our industry is very polarizing, just as every other industry is, based on the amount of views, the amount of attention that we get on social medias and mainstream medias, to be quite honest, we need to kind of cut the shit a little bit and know that there is an easy medium between these two things. But most people don't know what the easy medium is. They know what the two ends of the spectrum are, but they don't know exactly where they can get their minimal effective dose. So what do you need to do in order to move the needle forward for yourself while also maintaining the ability to create habits and create consistency? Consistent hard work for every one of my clients is the goal right off the bat. So what can we 1000% commit to? What can we make sure that we can progress upon and feel good about what we're laying down, even if it's a small health habit, even if it's a small movement of your weight on the scale? Those are the things that create momentum, and momentum across the lifespan in terms of being excited about the process that you're in, but also being able to continuously evolve and push yourself hard enough to adapt to the stimulus that you need to create in the gym or in the kitchen. That is really the key. You can't just show up and do nothing and get results, but you also can't overdo it and blow yourself out because you won't get results that way either. It's always going to be that easy medium, but that's a big reason why the most successful people have coaches to guide the process, to create a guidance of the journey and put somebody on a path to success so they can most likely maintain it for a longer period of time, if not for life.
Yeah. I mean, I can't say enough about that thought process in terms of the continuum, that making habits, you know, every single day, working on things, practicing. I kind of think of it as practice. Really, fitness for me is just a practice, and it's a continuum of life. I'm into the pain-free performance because I don't want to be the old lady hunched over, because I'm pretty sure at my height, being 5'2", I'm going to be about 4'11" when things, you know, shake out, and I don't want to be hunched over on top of it. And now I'm 4 feet, you know, so it's one of those things where I want women to really start thinking about the long term here. And I think a lot of women, you also had a lovely post on this some time ago about the whole concept of getting thick and getting, you know, jacked and all this from continuous workouts. Let's talk a little bit about those myths and those bluff, but just blow some stuff out of the water, because I'm so sick of hearing, because my patients look at me and they're like, oh, well, you were born fit. I'm like, not exactly. You lift weights like every day. No, I don't. And, you know, so I get all these things, and then they're like, well, I don't know if I want arms big like yours. I'm like, they're not that big. So anyway, let's bust out some myths here. What do you typically hear? Like, number one.
Yeah. Usually it's going to be a mismatch between the body that they have currently and the body type that they essentially want to evolve into, and the means and the methods to get to those areas. Strength training is extraordinarily rare in America today. Men and women alike, we have sub 4% of the American population that strength trains, 3.76%. Whoa. Wow. Okay. Well, exercise in general, we are sub 20%. Only about 19.5% of Americans exercise at all. And this is a very low criteria of what exercise is constituted as. So we could say exercise is cleaning your house for 20 minutes and vacuuming. Exercise could be walking your dogs 20 minutes. So this is a very low level of criteria to actually be 20% of Americans exercising. So in all actuality, we don't have a whole lot of people that are, one, active, and two, actively weight training. And I shouldn't say weight training, I should say resistance training, because that 3.76% comes from any sources of resistance training. That could be using weights, that could be using your own body weight with calisthenics, things like push-ups and sit-ups and body weight squats, but it could also be things like banded workouts and resistances from there. So, we have a lot of work to do. But I think the biggest misconception in the industry today, especially in women's fitness and women's health, is that cardio or calorie restriction is the be-all, end-all of achieving this aesthetic that everyone seems to be after. 10, 15 years ago, it was always like, oh, I want the runner's body. I want the runner's body. It's like this lean, long person that has no body fat, but just like looks awesome in a cocktail dress. Okay, so cool. That's the aesthetic that we're hopefully after. Everyone has a different body type. Everyone has a different, genetic and physiological backgrounds inside of their own body. So there's some things that are achievable, other things that are not. But the number one way to improve an aesthetic, to improve function, improve health in general, is strength training. Strength training is going to be the impetus to almost every other ancillary gain across the board. And this is something that is still like, people don't believe it. They don't believe that if they go in and strength train, that they will be able to create these types of body changing and health changing results. But I think a big reason for that is that we don't have a great understanding what quote unquote strength training actually is. You started off the podcast saying that the average woman walks into a global gym and they see these absolute meathead dudes with hair on their back grunting in the squat rack. And you're like, yo, if that's strength training, I'm not down with that. And that's totally understandable. I'm not down with that either. I see that. I'm like, yeah, I don't want to be here anymore. Like, I'm going to go and walk on the treadmill for a little bit. But that is not the only way to strength train. As we said, it's more about resistance training. It's more about trying to stimulate your muscles, stimulate your movement patterns, and essentially make yourself stronger and more resilient over time via most likely methods that you haven't used in the past. I think about strength training, especially for women who haven't been introduced to progressive-based intelligent strength training in the past. It's like you got six bullets in the chamber of your gun and you're ready to shoot them all off because this is a stimulus that is going to be new, novel, and powerful for your body to make improvements that you've never seen before. No matter your age, no matter your current body composition, and no matter your ultimate goals, like I look at this as the biggest and best opportunity to really make impact on your health and also on your body across the board for men and women alike, specifically women.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think it's the concepts of strength training versus resistance training. I mean, I think for a lot of women, the resistance sounds a little bit more like less daunting. And then when I bring out bands, like when I talk to my patients, I'm like, hey, you know, can we do some stuff with bands? Let's just get some bands and we'll start doing some basic stuff. It's like, okay, you know, all of a sudden, it's boom, I can do this. And I can even say one thing just as a side note for myself, but also for you to kind of comment on. I started doing more bands consistently with you and doing the face pulls, and a lot of the face pulls, I started having less neck pain. I started having less upper back pain, but all of a sudden I could feel my muscles and my back on my shoulders, but also my lats started to develop. And I was like, I have lats. My goodness, this is impressive. You know, and it was without so many pull-ups. Cause I think a lot of women will sit and think, you know, do I need to do all the pull-ups? Do I need to do all these barbell lifts? Do I need to do all these things? And I'm going, no, the bands, you can do a lot with the bands. So I'll let you speak to the face pulls and why you have them in so much of your training and the benefit for those kind of things.
Yeah, for many clients that want to stand taller, want to simply look better without necessarily changing their body composition a ton right away, just being able to reestablish some strength and some resilience on the backside of the body, we call this the posterior chain, that is going to be a highly neglected area for many people across the board, between athletes and general fitness population alike. People like to train things that they can see because they know they exist. That really means that neglecting has most likely happened over years, if not decades, on the backside of the body. And this becomes a little bit more troublesome when we compound the factors of daily life and the way that we live here in our current day situations with the rise of handheld technologies, computers, drives, Netflix and chilling. We spend a vast majority of our day on screens. I've seen recent studies from even 2 months ago saying that in 2022, we are spending 13 hours and 4 minutes in front of screens per day on average here in America. Holy shit, that is one hell of a statistic. That means that we're spending a lot of time forward rounded, forward flexed, internally rotated, flexed at the hips, and everything is going to be forward driven. One of my big keys with a vast majority of my clients' programming is simply trying to reverse the chronic daily positions that we find ourselves in. I'm not in the place where I say, hey, you're making money on the computer at work. Quit your job because we need to reestablish your posture. No, that's not going to be for anyone. But how do we get about making improvements? We use training as a way to reverse posturing, reverse chronic positions. And in turn, we start to reestablish what we call the human movement system spectrum. There are certain areas and there are certain ranges of motion that a human body should be able to access and perform from. And majority of people are neglecting one, if not six, the basic foundational movement patterns: squat, hinge, lunge, push, pull, carry, which is essentially moving your body through space, and reestablishing proper ratios between what we're doing and also taking into account what your daily life and your lifestyle looks like. That is going to be a big, big factor in just getting success almost instantaneously. Because as you mentioned, doing something as simple as a banded face pull, it has this instant gratification result. Dare I say quick fix, because it makes you feel better because you're moving into positions that may have been dormant for a long period of time. And the one thing I do like about bands, especially for our clients that do spend a lot of their day in sedentary positions, is that they're easy, they're quick, you can access them anywhere, and you can get a little bit of a reset done almost any part of your day, whether you're at the office, whether you're at the gym, or whether you're getting ready to go to bed. These are very accessible tools that are non-intimidating and do the job. You know, they're resistance bands. That's what they are. And getting a little bit more of that inside of your lifestyle, it's a really great starting point for many people. But as soon as people tend to fall into liking to use them, there's something that are sustainable for life. It's sustainable whether you're on vacation or whether you're in the gym training, you know, in your 2-hour leg day. It doesn't really matter where you are, what you're doing. There are translatable tools that can help you for life.
Yeah. You know, it's one of those things you mentioned, wherever you are. I wish I've taken more photos and videos of the random stuff I've done with the bands, like, and hooked them to when I've been traveling, because the bands are so portable, guys. Like, it fits, like, everything fits in like a little like case that I have for mine. And John, of course, has his bands online that you can find on his website. And we'll get that to that later. Now, one of the big things I mentioned the face pull about too, is because I find that with women in particular, frozen shoulder is a big deal. And really thinking, I use the bands almost to, and I think of it this way too, that I'm keeping my shoulders greased all day long. And so yeah. I will do so. So guys, let's talk about the Russin tricep for a minute, because in that way folks can kind of get a little background of where the heck I'm going with this. Because I will use that a couple times a day when I know I've been on the computer too long, and I'm like, oh yeah, we got to do this. So let's talk about that for a minute and why you created it, kind of the whole background. Give us the scoop.
Yeah. So I've been using bands for basically my entire career. They became popularized in the late 70s, arguably the early 80s, but they were very popular amongst the biggest meatheads that you're probably wanting to avoid in the gym. So they're being used with barbell back squats and deadlifts and bench press. It was very powerlifting-esque. So bands really didn't emerge into the general fitness space, or dare I say the functional fitness space, until the late 90s and the early 2000s. And that really opened up people's minds to, wow, this is a really nice training tool. I've been using them for a long time. You know, I started training right at about that time, and really looking at some of the core exercises that you could get maximal return on investment from in a matter of a minute or 2 minutes or 3 minutes, you could feel totally better, and you could actually use it as a prehabilitation tool, as we do many times. That was where we started using the banded face pull, the pull apart, and the band over and back. For many years, I was using these three exercises, not in the tricep as we use today together, but separately. And we just started putting it together organically, and I started putting it into my clients and my athletes' programs, and it worked really, really well from a mechanistics perspective, a biomechanics perspective, which we won't get into, but also just like, wow, this makes me feel really good. It pumped blood to the right parts of my shoulders, and whoa, my posture feels way better, to the point where they're able to perform or they're able to reset that position that they may chronically have been in that day. So what it looks like is 10 sets of over and back. So you take a band between your two hands, you have it down to your waist. The band is a little bit taut, but not crazy. And you raise it over your head, and then you bring it down to your lower back, back and forth, hips to lower back over the head with a relatively straight elbow position. That is the first one. We do 10 reps of that. right into the next exercise in the tricep, which is the band face pull. Band face pull, you anchor it to something in a door jam or on a squat rack, whatever you may have, and you pull the band to your face. You have a double overhand grip with a little bit of band between your fingers, and you drive your elbows back and you rip that band right to your face. Hopefully not hitting yourself in the eyes, but I like to cue hitting yourself in the chin, not actually hitting, like contacting your chin. Like, it's cool. 10 reps of that. And then the last one is taking the band again in about a shoulder width grip, keeping no slack in the band. And we pull the hands apart from one another. This is called a band pull apart. And that is 10 reps there. So band over and backs, banded face pull, band pull apart. We do 10, 10, and 10. And this should take about 60 seconds to do. And you'll feel your upper back burning. You'll feel your shoulders mobilizing. You'll feel your entire thoracic spine and neck be able to decompress and alleviate a little bit. And it's a very, very strong elicited training effect in a matter of 60 seconds. Yeah. And this is something that to this day, I'm going on about a decade of using this tricep. I didn't name it after myself. I'm not that vain. a coach named it after me a couple of years ago when I wrote an article about it. And I still use this 4 times per week at minimum inside of my training sessions. Yeah. And this is something that has been an absolute game changer. And I think over the years, a lot of people have used this specific protocol, but also protocols very similar to it, whether it be with my programs, whether it be if they're a client of mine or they've gone through the certification course. And our clients and our coaches tend to have a very specific aesthetic if they've been training on these systems long enough. The aesthetic is a strong and proud spinal position, meaning that they're able to stand erect and look like they're in that power position like Superman. A bigger upper back where it looks like, whoa, like you ever see a lady do like a row or a pull up in the gym? They're not super jacked, but you're like, wow, I can see some muscles in there. Cool. Like that kind of look. But also from the lower body's perspective, our men and our ladies, they do have a badonk. They do have a bigger gluteal region and they do have strong and powerful glutes that in the same way as the upper back supports the shoulders, the glutes support the lower back. So I think just from the amount of volume and the amount of frequency and the amount of exposures that we get to simple things like the banded Russin tricep, like the double banded glute bridge and hip thrust, those things all compound over time to make some pretty marked changes, not only in the musculature, but also in the physiology of being able to move into these positions, restabilize these positions and feel good while protecting some of the most vulnerable areas in the body, the lower back and the shoulders.
Yeah, no, I can't say enough about the bands. I mean, I will use them exclusively sometimes while traveling when I don't have access to anything else. And I don't feel like I've lost anything. And honestly, I mean, I feel like my back, you know, a lot of people, you know, you were mentioning like, what do women want when they go into to work out? And a lot of people are like, weight loss, this and that. Me, I always wanted the nice back. I wanted a rock climber back. And so funny enough, I started rock climbing. That didn't bring me the rock climber back. Yeah. Nope. But all of the banded stuff actually has turned my back into, you can see muscles, you know, it's definitely defined. And so folks who are listening to this, maybe you don't want muscle definition per se. You just want to look strong, but you know, it's all like we had talked about before. It's what you're going for. And if anything, I can take women away from this. I want to get fit so I can lose weight. That will come. Let's talk about how that will come. Stop putting that as the first freaking thing into your head.
Health versus performance. This has been knocked into our brains over the last 2 decades. Either you want to lose weight or get strong or be powerful or perform at the highest levels of sport, or you have to make the choice to be healthy and you're going to look like shit. It doesn't have to be a choice, one versus the other. And this is the cornerstone of the pain-free performance system, is that we co-manage simultaneously health and performance, because one cannot distinguish from another if the goal is to do this for the rest of your life. We must co-manage these two factors. But I will argue that overall, health needs to be established to ultimately optimize your performance. And when I say performance, I'm not just talking about, sprint fast on the track. I'm talking about those weight loss goals. I'm talking about being able to have an aesthetic that you're proud of and being able to feel and function your best. So you're not limited in your activities due to pain or injuries or feeling like absolute shit with burnout. So pain and performance, these two things are polar opposite when you talk about them, but that's our model. We're trying to keep people feeling great, but also functioning well so they can actually be in a position to chase down whatever their goal may be. Because I've coached a long, long time, and I can tell you that the athletes and the clients that never, ever achieve their goals are the ones that got hurt before they could get enough training time and enough intensity and enough exposures to stimuli to actually get to the promised land.
Yeah.
And that's the harsh reality, is that people want to do good. They want to put in the work. They are mentally ready to do it, but they're going about it in the wrong way that actually sets them up for disaster, as opposed to strengthening that base of the pyramid little by little, every exercise, every workout, every week, every training block, every year. And one of the things that we say all the time in PPSC is that we want to be stronger. Stronger means that I don't care what you did today. I don't really care what you do next week. I don't care what you do in 6 weeks or 6 months. When you are 10, 20 years older, I want you to be just as strong as you are today, mentally, physically, emotionally. Mm-hmm. And the way that we achieve that is by putting in the work today in a smart and intelligent manner that can push us forward without ever having to take those 5 or 10 steps back. Mm-hmm. And that is easily said, but it's harder to execute. It has to have a mature emotional level of what we want to do with our training. And we also have to have extreme buy-in on the processes that aren't going to be a quick fix. You will see results and feel good right away, but you'll see marked improvements of your entire life across multiple spectrums of your life in 12 weeks, 12 months, 12 years. Some of my clients are going on 6 years of working with me, which is pretty crazy since we started offering some of the services that we do today. But the body can be changed in 12 weeks. I look at that as a minimum of like, yeah, we can change your body in 12 weeks, but you can change your entire life in 12 months.
Yeah.
12 months is like the minimum of like making some massive improvements that are not only something that you can hang your hat on, but something that you can do for the rest of your life. That's why I love working with clients like you that are in it for the long term, because all of a sudden, we have a lot more options to get you to the promised land. And it's about enjoying the journey on the process, but also being able to learn things and evolve it in such a way that, maybe our direction changes a tiny bit. Maybe we make a left instead of a right on one of these forks in the road. And that's something that we can make intelligent decisions with if we have enough time to work on it. But that's not the realities of today. It's, this didn't work in 2 workouts, so I'm out. Or I didn't like the way this felt in 1 workout, I'm out. Or, 1 month of this was enough. I'm going to jump into something totally different and restart the entire process from square one again. And this is this cyclical vicious cycle that we tend to see with people that get mentally and emotionally burned out with the entire process of health and fitness.
Yeah. Sadly so. Cause I've had people come to me and they're like, yeah, I did this particular gym. I did that particular gym. I tried CrossFit. Cause that seems to be, we all have to do it. I full disclosure, 4 years of CrossFit. That's why my back sucks. I can't blame it completely on CrossFit. I was a figure skater when I was younger and I had a lot of slams on the ice. So I think the part of that did it, but CrossFit didn't help, and pushing yourself, hit workout after hit workout in 2 days. Like I went through some shit, guys who are listening to this. If you guys, I had the idea, that I was going to, cause I was getting chubby. I was getting into perimenopause and my weight just started going up and I was getting more tired. So I thought the answer was, I'm just going to push myself a little harder. Cause I'm not giving myself enough. So I'm just going to keep going. And then I would push a little harder. And then from there, I was doing HIIT workouts in the mornings and then I was lifting at night and I just kept trying to slam both of those things. And it crashed me. And then I figured out that there was a better way. And I found you through some of your pain-free performance courses.
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
A lot of times, though, like your story is not something that is rare. It is common and it is extraordinarily common. Sometimes in order to ultimately get to the path that you want to maintain and sustain for life, you have to go through some shit. Mm-hmm. If it was so easy that everyone could just buy into the right way right away, we would be out of jobs, you and I both. It would be a very easy thing. And if we could actually do that, I would be all for it. I'd sell real estate or do something as long as everyone was healthier. But that's not the reality of today. Many times making a change in the way that you live, you need to be pushed to do it. Something has to happen in your life, whether it be to you, to be a family member. We deal with a lot of people that have wake-up moments. Oh, shit. You and I both wish that COVID was that wake-up moment for many people, but it didn't necessarily prove to be that big of a push in order to be proactive or preventative with their healthcare. That's unfortunate, but we're in the realities of today. We need to be able to realize the worth of exercise, the worth of healthy eating, the worth of lifestyle, and managing these factors to improve our life. Because the mainstream today, I honestly don't believe that the average person finds value in living a healthier life.
Yeah.
And that is hard for me to say, but it also means that there are people out there that actually do. They have to make that first step forward. And that's where coaches like you and I and practitioners like you and I are able to help people that are ready to be helped. Because, shouting the same message at somebody that truly doesn't value this process yet isn't necessarily the best way to get these ideas out there. I think we need to open up the conversation that there's many entry points into living a healthier lifestyle. It's not just training in the gym. It's not just going on some restrictive diet. It's not just supplementation or optimizing sleep. There's a lot of different areas that we can have inputs in to get somebody in our arsenal so we can actually help them. And this is tough because I've gone back and forth on this over my career. It's like, man, I'd love to help everybody. I would love to help everyone. And I was actually at the CrossFit Games over the summer being interviewed by their media team. They're like, what's your goal for your entire career? I was like, oh shit, I've never been asked that. And I said, like, if we can somehow blunt the health epidemic that we are currently in at the end of my days, not like get better. I'm not asking for us to be less obese or even less sick or less diabetes. If we can just like maintain the level that we're currently at, we're all going to high five because that is a massive victory in the health and wellness space today. And that's how serious this is right now. I don't necessarily think we're ever going to see a downslope of obesity rates. I don't think we're ever going to see in our lifetime a downslope of preventative health challenges and diseases. But I do think that we can blunt these effects. And I do think that we can help people that are in this transition period where they may be at risk and we can take them out of risk. And that happens one by one. And I think that we need to be excited about those one by one victories because as health and fitness professionals, sometimes that's the thing that keeps the fire burning for us to move forward because it's a tough, tough profession.
Yeah, it is. It absolutely is. And the little wins build up to big wins. And I mean, in the 3 years I've been working with you, my back has really only flared a couple times and I know exactly what I did to have it happen. You cannot do deadlifts and ride mountain bikes, guys. Bad idea. Don't do it. Not doesn't work well. But it's learning. It's a learning experience and learning about your body. And really I wanted to have you on for folks to hear kind of what I've been through a little bit and what I've been doing, but also really to get the idea that fitness isn't about the short term. It's about the long term, learning about yourself, learning what works for you. And I know we're getting to the end of the podcast here. And there's one question that I have burning in my head and that a lot of people have asked me in terms of learning about yourself. Is there any kind of value in the statement of maybe someone shouldn't do one of the certain movements, like a hinge, a squat, push, pull, whatever it may be? Is there any circumstance in which someone should consider maybe that is just not for them? Because I get asked this a lot in terms of hinge and squat in particular for ladies.
Yeah. So bilateral hinging and bilateral squatting. So it means for most people like a bar on your back and squatting down with the feet in bilateral positions or deadlifting a bar off the ground. I would say the first line of trying to quote unquote fix something is to get coached, to optimize your positions, to feel what you're supposed to feel, to load appropriately, and also to implement volumes that may be, again, appropriate for you, not going from zero to something right away. We have to remember that no matter what the movement is, really, even in a lifestyle perspective, anything that is a market change and is going to be a brand new stimulus into the system, your body's going to freak out. Your body's going to freak out and you're going to have a negative stimulus happen. That could happen with deadlifts. That could happen with a ketogenic diet. It could happen with any new stimulus. And most times this freakout factor happens only for about a week, maybe 2 weeks, sometimes up to 3 weeks. And then everything normalizes. The threat of novelty is reduced. Most people, though, if they feel one thing happen incorrectly, or one thing happened that's unexpected, they jump right off that train and they go to the next one. They go to the next one after that. And they're starting from square one with novel stimuli every single time they restart. And they never really get anywhere. So the first thing I would say is for bilateral squats and deadlifts, I still do believe in them, but I don't think that everyone needs to do them traditionally. By traditionally, you don't need to be lifting with a barbell to get the benefits from the deadlift or from the squat. As you know better than anyone, there are a lot of different variations that are more accessible to many people to, again, build the movement system, to build the human movement spectrum out as wide and as broad as we can possibly get it, to try to hopefully make you stronger in better positions, but also translating to real life, which is a huge thing about training. But there are clients that we have that just simply don't tolerate barbells, and that is totally fine. There's been times and places in my career, in my personal training, that I take the barbell out of my training and I re-implement other more accessible tools for me to, again, elicit a desired stimulus without overstressing something that is non-desired. So I don't necessarily think that it's like off limits for everybody, but I would say that you are correct where most people struggle, number one, with deadlifting. Due to lower back pain. And number two is going to be squatting due to usually lower back pain and shoulder pain. Those two things are really, really high level tasks when we think about it. Like it's one of the most advanced things that we could possibly do in the gym from a motor skill acquisition perspective, but also from a load capacity perspective. When you throw some weight on the barbell, you're relatively strong theoretically in those positions. So the load goes up, the novelty goes up. As soon as those two variables increase without the skill level to maintain decency in terms of your execution, that's when we tend to run into pain and injury problems.
No, and this is something that I want to ask John, because he's got the diagram within your training where it shows like barbells high level. And unfortunately, a lot of folks are being programmed right now to walk in a gym and think they need to get under that barbell right away.
That's one thing. I really don't like to see this. There's a tiny niche like in the women's fitness industry today that I get behind the messaging on. It's like strong women, empowered women. Yes, I am so for this. And then I see what is actually being sold or being, pushed. And it's like barbell squat, barbell deadlift, barbell bench press. And you're like, there's different ways to be strong. And strong doesn't necessarily always need to use the barbell. It doesn't even need to use iron. There's many different ways to get strong. So I am 1000% for strong, empowered women in the gym. But I think there's a lot of different avenues that are more beneficial for women to jump into to get the benefits that they actually want while creating the momentum, maintaining the momentum and pushing forward over a long enough period of time where they can make the changes that they're after.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was hoping you were going to touch on that a little bit because I mean, I see it too. You know, there's a place in Tacoma in particular that was very rah-rah women jump under the barbell. And I'm like,
It's easy. It's very simple to explain this. Hey, we want to get strong. The most traditional strength tool in all of the industry is the barbell. So people can conceptualize, oh, I am strength training now. But as we already reviewed, strength training comes in many different ways. And the benefits are not necessarily better or worse. We need to look at something that is maintainable. You can have maintenance for life on. And, you know, I look at some of my PPSC staff. We have some people that are like in extraordinary shape. they don't necessarily use the barbell all the time. We also have world-class powerlifters, world champion powerlifters on our PPSC team. And when off-season comes, it's like the barbell is taken right out of the program. So there are many different ways to do this, but I think that finding a stimulus that you can recover from, that you can get stronger from, and you can also like a little bit, that's going to be huge for maintenance long-term and just your excitement to get in and work hard enough to, again, sustain.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I've talked your ear off for almost an hour now. And of course, we probably better get wrapped up here. I would love, because folks are probably thinking like, all right, Dr. John, how do we get in touch with you? How do we figure out like where's the best place to start? Do I go straight for the P4 personal training, or do I go, you know, to some of your functional training? So give folks the scoop on what's available, where's a good starting place if they've never worked out before, and where's a good place if they're kind of a gym junkie but want someone's eyes on them.
Yeah, that's a great question. And I offer multiple different levels of services because people are at different stages of their needs, their wants, and their goals. Programs like you, that is totally customized one-on-one coaching where we're shooting the shit back and forth, that's my highest level offering. You can find that on drjohnrussin.com. It's called P4 One-on-One Personalized Online Coaching. Mm-hmm. Down from there, there's really good team memberships that we also offer. It's called Functional Strength Training. Functional Strength Training is I create the best possible program that will work for 80% of the people, 80% of the time. And then we back it with personal coaching, nutrition, and you can ask questions in there and log it all on our cool FST app. And then one down from there is like, hey, I have a goal and I think I just need to follow a program. And we offer three different programs on drjohnrussin.com as well, which we call single sale programs. So you buy them like you're at Target, you put them into your cart and they're theirs, yours forever. One is for body composition. We call it functional hypertrophy training. So if you're weight loss or muscle gain, that would be the one for you. The second one is, hey, I need to return to train and get healthy. That's called Foundations Program. It's awesome. It teaches you a step-by-step approach to do all the things that we talked about today. Intelligent maintenance and approaches that continue to work side by side, phase by phase. And then the last one, if you're really into this stuff and you like to use barbells and heavy weights, functional power training is one for you. That's pretty brutal. It's pretty awesome in the same point, but that is probably the most advanced program that we have. But there's a lot of different avenues. And if people have questions, I say go to drjohnrussin.com. Hit us up on the contact form. We personally email every single person back because this is a question that we get a lot. When you have a lot of different offerings out there, it's sometimes hard to choose apples to oranges comparisons. But we field emails every single day leading the horse to water so they can quench their thirst. And we're excited to do it.
Awesome. Awesome. And you also have training too. Some of the training I've taken for coaches as well, which if there's any coaches listening, you guys, your PPSC certification is awesome. And you've added kettlebell training and what else? What else you got on there? You got something else. There's yeah, like so a master's.
So pain-free performance specialist certification, that one's on a different website. It's at getppsc.com. But we have our foundation certification that's actually done almost 14,000 certified coaches in person over the last 4 years. And then we have some specialty certifications as well. We have a training certification, a kettlebell certification, and then launching online, we have a programming certification, also a business certification, and then a brand new one that is going to be launching in 2023. I won't quite say it yet, but it's going to be a cool one that we've been developing over the last year and a half or so.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me and share a lot of your knowledge and just being able to give folks a little bit of an insight into really what works in the fitness industry.
It's my pleasure. Thank you so much, Janine.
You're welcome.
Hey, fellow health junkie, thanks for listening to the Health Fix podcast. If you enjoyed tuning in, please help support me to get the word out about the podcast. Subscribe, rate, and review, and just get that word out. Thanks again for listening.